Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
I know you've gone through a lot, and I'm so grateful that both of you can be and tell the story of what's been going on. So, yes,
I'm super excited. And Sophie, I just want to tell you, I don't know you. I'd love to see your beautiful face right now. You have been through such a journey, I know. And to be 15 years old and to be brave to come on and be with us to share your story, you have no idea how many people you are going to help today by sharing this. It really is going to be very incredibly inspiring to so many. So I want you to know what you're doing today is such a huge thing, especially for someone your age. So thank you.
Yeah, that is amazing. And you're going to be inspiring mothers that are fighting mm-hmm. for their daughters, for the children. And you're going to be inspiring the children that are in the middle of all of this. Yeah, and I mean, so this is going to be so amazing. And thank you so much, mm-hmm. Sophie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for, we're happy to share and glad we have this opportunity. So thank you too.
Wonderful. So tell me how did it all start? I mean, where did it all begin?
So when Sophie was 9, just at the very beginning of fourth grade, like early September, the first week of September, she came down with like a little illness. It didn't seem like much. She had a low grade fever, I think a stomach ache, some aches and pains. And I think I kept her home on Friday, you know, recuperated over the weekend, and I sent her back to school on Monday. But as she walked down the hill towards the school, she was limping. And then when I picked her up later that day, she said, "Oh yeah, my knee feels like it's twisted and it hurts." And then after that, she just seemed kind of more tired and lethargic, and she had to hold the handrail and like pull herself up the stairs because she was so tired. And then I started thinking, okay, this isn't really normal. So we, I can't remember how fast it was, but within a week or two of that, she started complaining of maybe even days. She started complaining of like really bad joint pain in her ankles and her knees and her hips, and to the point where she couldn't fall asleep at night, and she was like screaming in pain and it hurt. And so I brought her to the pediatrician, who had known her since she was born. And she was 9 years old at this time. And the very first thing he said was, "Oh, it might be psychological. So, you know, if it keeps on going, then bring her back and we'll do an anti-nuclear antibody test." And so I said, okay. should I keep going?
Yes,
please.
So he finally did the ANA test. I'm pretty sure the first time it was elevated. But I think he said, "Oh, like it could be a lab error, let's run it again. Or, you know, we don't trust it the first time, let's run it again. So I feel like from the very beginning, it was already like, oh, it's probably nothing, which I guess is good. You don't want to freak parents out. But so by the second ANA test, I think it was up to 1 to 320. And so then he said, okay, and her symptoms were continuing. And he said, okay, we'll refer her to the rheumatologist. And of course, that was a really long process. We had an HMO, so we were waiting for weeks to get an appointment to get that, like to get it approved and then to make the appointment with the rheumatologist. So we finally, so this all started in September, and then finally we had an appointment with the rheumatologist in December. But while we were waiting for that appointment, she came down with strep towards the end of November, and then all hell broke loose. It was just really bad. She took amoxicillin. She, first of all, it took 4 days because it was the weekend. So it took like at least a good 4 days for, she did the rapid strep test, and the urgent care doctor said, oh, it's negative. And then it was the weekend. So finally he called me back on Monday or Tuesday, and he was like, oh, it is positive. You know, the culture came back, it's positive. So we need to put her on amoxicillin. So we did that. And this is important because of her other diagnosis, which is PANDAS, pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. So, so she kind of just, it was a double whammy. We didn't know she had Lyme disease. So, but all of a sudden when she went on that amoxicillin, like day eight, she just broke out in a rash, starting on the back of her neck, bright red rash on the back of her neck behind her ears. And I brought her to the doctor, and he said, oh, she's fine. You know, just put calamine lotion on her, send her to school. So we did. And then when I picked her up from school later that day, that rash was raised. Like her whole neck was like a hive, and her ears were a hive, and she was getting hives on her hand and other different places. And she was itchy, and it just was not normal. So,
poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So then we, went back to her pediatrician. There's a couple of times back and forth with the pediatrician, and he said it really doesn't seem like an allergy to amoxicillin, but we can just, we'll stop it just in case. And we did. And then those hives and the just severe itchiness, she had it head to toe, all over her body, just everywhere. Her joints literally swelled. Her joints visibly swelled, like her wrists especially. It was so, so painful. And she, it was migrating. Like she couldn't move her shoulders at one point. But then it would, then it would be her hips or her knees and even her fingers. And she was just in so much pain. And so we probably went back to her pediatrician a couple times. And, the thing that was common from all the doctors was, oh, this should be self-limiting, so you just have to wait it out. But she was in so much, like she was so itchy and in so much pain and so uncomfortable that we were just like, we just can't leave her like this. So my husband and I took her to, our friends had recommended, oh, take her down to the children's hospital, to the ER down there. Cause we had the pediatrician, our local ER. And then finally we went to the other ER at the children's hospital. And the interesting thing is there that I can only look at in hindsight is that they had a few different doctors come in and look at her. And I heard them talking to each other like, oh no, this, is that what it is? Oh, it couldn't be that, and now I look back and I think they were talking about Lyme disease because they had asked me questions like, did you go out of town? Did you go hiking? Was she bitten by an insect? And we just said, no. We had gone to Arizona for Thanksgiving, but we didn't hike because she was just getting over strep. And we hadn't hiked in ages, like since the summer. So like the last time we hiked was probably August. And then of course, she got sick in September, so we weren't hiking anymore. And so we just answered no to all those questions. And I didn't even have Lyme on my radar because we live in Southern California. So
where there is no Lyme.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's really interesting because now I have definitive proof because I know like in the Santa Monica Mountains, there have been articles about Lyme disease detected in the ticks there. And we live near the Angeles National Forest. We're in the foothills and we had hiked that summer all over the place. She hiked, she rode horseback. We brought the dogs, my husband mountain biked. You know, we were walking in the brush, walking along the fallen logs, through the leaves, through the, you know, not next to the tall grass, not in it because of rattlesnakes. But yeah, we were like, we had no care in the world. We didn't even know that could exist. So I look back at all our pictures from hiking and stuff, and because we never saw a tick, but she, you know, later on tested positive. But I look back at those pictures and I'm like, oh, no wonder. My husband, who's a mountain biker, at one of the trailheads that we had frequented, there was a post from the LA West Vector Control that the ticks in the area carry Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. And that was in 2016, like a year after this happened. So I was really surprised that sign was there, and then really surprised that none of the doctors in our area would even imagine that Lyme disease could exist here. But that sign was right there, and LA West Vector Control put it right there. And I don't know if do they not contact the hospitals and say, look out for people if they have these symptoms? I guess not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they don't. And because there's so many doctors that don't even believe Lyme disease is a real disease. So right. No. And if it is, you know, it's got to only be in Lyme, Connecticut, where it started. There's no ticks with Lyme anywhere else in the country.
No, right. They're not allowed to pass the state line. You know, exactly. It's a very distinct border that they can't pass. Yeah.
Exactly. No, yeah. And I definitely, after we finally figured out what was going on, which took like 10 months, after that, and I found out it was Lyme, I just read everything I could put my hands on, because and I didn't, you obviously don't know until you're in it that this is like such a huge controversial topic. And, you really have to fight to get treated. So,
So, Sophie, tell me a little bit what was going through your mind during this whole time. I mean, what were you thinking? What were your, for children that are in your position, what was going on in your mind?
I just remember specific, really specific things. Like I went to a store and remember my ankles being so bad that I didn't want to walk at all around there, 'cause they were just hurt so bad. And I was sitting on the floor and waiting for them to finish shopping. And,
how did it make you feel when you were at school and your friends knew that you were not feeling good or saw rashes on you? How did that make you feel?
She probably can't remember a lot from that because it happened right at the beginning of fourth grade. Do you have a comment? Want to say something? No?
Well, I don't think a lot of the people knew.
Okay.
Right. Well, and she missed, she just missed so much school because it happened right at the beginning. And then she couldn't go. She just couldn't. She was in and out of school. She missed so much school.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know. And luckily, I am a pediatric occupational therapist and I work for the school district. So
perfect.
I knew my rights as a parent that she could have a 504 plan. So we jumped in on that right away. And she was excused from her absences. And
oh, perfect.
Yeah. So they were really great. Her school was great with us. And probably because they knew that I knew what was going on. I knew the rules.
Yeah.
So,
they didn't start telling him until fourth grade.
Well, yeah. So what happened was, after the strep, she in early December, or right after we took her off the amoxicillin, she started having neuropsychiatric symptoms. So she was acting really loopy, almost drunk, disinhibited. She's normally a very shy, quiet child. And all of a sudden she was acting had bizarre behavior. And even once in the doctor's office before the pediatrician came in, she started, she just had her eyes were really deep set and red circles around them. And you could just tell she wasn't herself. Sorry, this is a hard topic for her because I have a video of it because I just thought no one's going to believe me and this is really bizarre. So she kind of started having some vocal tics. So she would be and kind of ha ha and cackle like a witch. And I said, what's wrong? Why are you acting like that? Does your head feel funny? And she said, it feels heavy. And then she did a head dive straight into the plank in the in the doctor's office, and then she stood, and then she sat back up and started howling and then shaking her head and cackling. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is this? Something is wrong.
What's possessed my daughter?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It really was like, I was thinking of the word flabbergasted. It was shocking. And I was flabbergasted. And her doctor came in right after that happened. And I said, she is acting so strangely and something's really wrong. And he like kind of just seemed to dismiss it and said, okay, here's her paper. She can go back to school. And I was like, no, she can't go back to school. Something's wrong. So I called the rheumatologist who we had an appointment with later in the month. And I was crying and I said, can you please see her? I'm like, when can you see her sooner? And her nurse was so nice. And she just said, you know what, drop everything, come right now. So that was one of our really, great doctors who we really loved, because she was our network rheumatologist. And she was the first one who finally was like, okay, is this her normal baseline? And I said, no, it's not even close to her normal baseline. She had walked in limping because she had pain in her hips. She was still acting a little weird and she still had some of the leftover, rashes and hives. And she said, something's wrong. So she felt really, really bad and she didn't want to send us home. So she called the children's hospital and had her admitted that night.
Okay. So the rashes, did they figure out where that came from?
They always just told us it would be self-limiting.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I thought, okay, it must have been like a Herxheimer reaction. Mm-hmm. Another thing I heard from that just last year, we started seeing an allergist, and he looked at her pictures and he said, oh, he goes, that is from mycoplasma. That type of rash is from mycoplasma. But then, the other doctors in the ER had talked about, oh, that looks like could it be the Lyme disease rash, because they were target shaped, a lot of them. So I don't know. I just assumed it was, after I read more about Lyme disease, I assumed it was like a Herxheimer reaction, I really don't know. And they always said, oh, it'll be self-limiting, but she still, she developed dermatographia at that time. Mm-hmm. So she still has dermatographia. She still has rashes and hives. She has asthma. All these things that she didn't have before she got sick. So part of me, I've also researched mast cell activation syndrome, but her current allergist is not, doesn't recognize that. So we're on a waiting list to see, someone at USC who's a specialist in it. So yeah, she has a year long waiting list. So we're waiting a year to see her.
And that's the thing, is that when you are looking for these specialists, that's somebody that is actually caring a little bit. Yeah, it can take a while to get into them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is fine. She's very stable. The point, 2015 and 2016 were horrible. We were lucky enough that, the biggest struggle of it all was that when she was hospitalized at the children's hospital, she stayed there 5 nights and she had her joint swelling and she had her abnormal behavior, but they tested her. And we went as far as an MRI and a lumbar puncture, and they could not find anything wrong. And the rheumatologist had said, the only one of the whole team said, I think it's pandas. And that's the first time I've heard of pandas.
So he actually knew about that. That's fantastic. That's incredible.
I think he's a researcher and he had been to other countries researching it.
Yeah.
So I think South America. So he said that, but then, it's a team, and the psychiatrist and the neurologist disagreed with him. So they basically just said she has arthralgia and, she can go home. It's self-limiting. She can go home. And if the symptoms continue, contact her pediatrician. So that is what it was, an endless, it was a cycle. And
you finally figured out that it was Lyme. How did you figure that out?
Okay, so after her first hospitalization, we went back to her pediatrician, sent us back to the rheumatologist. The rheumatologist actually diagnosed her with systemic lupus in right in January of 2016. Mm-hmm. She diagnosed her with that. She put her on Cellcept. She was like having, she just seemed to be getting worse and worse. So she added Plaquenil. But after like 9 weeks of doing this treatment, she could not walk. She could no longer walk. The pain was so bad in her feet and her legs, and she couldn't explain why, but she was rolling around the house on a skateboard because she just couldn't walk anymore. So we called the rheumatologist and said, she hasn't been able to walk for days. She has so much pain, and she thought she might have transverse myelitis. So she, sent her back to be hospitalized again. So for another full week, she was hospitalized. But I knew at the beginning, the doctors were really questioning the lupus diagnosis and asking me like, well, why did she diagnose her with lupus? What symptoms did she have? And she had a lot of the symptoms. Plus, like, she had some labs that, you know, the high ANAs and low complement and things like that. And, but like, as a parent, I don't think I should have to answer those questions. That's what the doctor diagnosed, and she was treating her. So that's, you know, something's wrong. We're trying it. Anyway, they said she doesn't have lupus. They took her off all the meds, which was fine. And then I was like, okay, then what can it be? Oh, that's great. Fantastic. She doesn't have lupus, but then why is she so sick? So I started researching Lyme disease because I had a friend who had just seen an interview with Allie Hilfiger on her book called Bite Me. Mm-hmm. So I started researching Lyme disease, and I joined some of the, you know, like the networks where you can talk with people, and all of them were like, get her tested and find an LLMD. So finally, we actually changed her pediatrician because he wasn't helping us anymore. The rheumatologist said she couldn't help us anymore because the children's disagreed with her. So we had nobody left. The children's hospital wouldn't treat her. They said she had somatoform disorder, which is psychological. So anywhere we went, they're like, oh no, you know, if you try to do more testing and things, it's just going to make her worse because she's going to believe that she's sick. So anyway, that was a huge problem.
Wow.
So no mind that she couldn't walk and that, you know, no mind that. Yeah.
Right.
It was all just belief that she was.
Right. Uh-huh. They're like, I remember. Yeah. So that's one thing maybe she can remember is in the hospital, mm-hmm. the rheumatologist said, I think she can walk.
Well, I remember I was in the room with the two, like, what are the OT?
It was the OT and PT.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, they had me sitting on this like green ball, mm-hmm. and my parents were like talking outside because they had come to visit.
They had us leave because they thought that I might be influencing her to behave a certain way. So I was like, okay, that's fine, I will leave the room. It's fine.
They said that if I didn't get up and walk right now, I couldn't go see my ma or my dad or anything.
So yeah. And how, yeah, so that really
how traumatic.
Wow.
That was traumatizing for mm-hmm. her. And
yeah.
They did their rounds and kept trying to get her to stand up. And she's like, Mom, why do they keep trying to make me stand up? They know it hurts so bad. And she would just buckle.
Yeah.
So anyway, so after that, we found a new pediatrician. We found an LLMD in Thousand Oaks. He did an Igenix test. It came back indeterminate. However, he diagnosed Lyme clinically. And then we found a new pediatrician who was luckily open-minded. She was in our insurance network. She believed the Lyme diagnosis. She believed the panda. Actually, she did the Cunningham panel for pandas, mm-hmm. and it came back with elevated markers. So she believed it. She believed Lyme. She believed pandas. And she decided that she would treat her with doxycycline and naproxen. And so that was our first step towards that because it worked a little bit. Like, it took some of her pain away. Like, she was at a 9 or 10 pain. It brought it down a notch. So we're like, okay, this is working. So
yeah, it's a whole lot better than taking amoxicillin and having rash all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that started working, and we stayed with the LLMD for a little bit, but I didn't really kind of feel like it was a great fit because he seemed more adult oriented. And I researched, one of her biggest issue was the pandas because she was starting to, she had school refusal. She had extreme anxiety, separation anxiety. She would just scream and cry for what seemed like no reason. And she would just repeat all the time that she was dying. Like, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. And I had to keep telling her, no, you're not dying. So finally I researched a panda specialist and, you know, joined a lot of the Facebook groups are really helpful in these areas because that's how I found her, her functional medicine nurse practitioner. And that was the key. She saved her.
Oh, beautiful. So when you got to her, I mean, how did she address this?
She was so matter of fact about everything. Like, I had second guessed myself the whole time. Because, like, your family doesn't necessarily, they were supportive, but they don't necessarily believe you either because they don't always see it. And So she just acted like it was so matter of fact. You know, she looked at her Cunningham panel and then she had this huge questionnaire and, like, the intake was over the phone. It was like an hour long. And I had filled out this whole questionnaire. And then based on all of the things, then it was very specific. And so everything I circled, all of her symptoms, which they were so multifarious. She had so many. And so she said, okay, so we're going to test for this. You know, she said, we're going to test for all these things. And at that point, her lab for she went through MDL labs for Lyme disease, and this time it was CDC positive. And then it also listed she was positive for Babesia, Bartonella, Ehrlichia, and Mycoplasma. So she had all these positive tests, and then her nurse practitioner treated her based on each one. I mean, she was taking a well-rounded regimen of like 15 to 20 things a day. And luckily as a 10-year-old by then, she would swallow all those pills and take all those herbal tinctures. And she was so, so good about it. And we were very, very regimented. So she had to do that for 4 years, years of it.
That's amazing. Cause I'm sure that most of those did not taste good.
You remember taking all of them?
Kind of.
Well, if you don't remember, it's okay because it was probably not a good memory. Most of those liquids did not taste very good. Yeah. But I'm sure at the time you just, you know, forever when you kept saying you're dying, and then your mom was able to tell you that we know what's wrong with you and you need to take this to get better, you know, that probably really helped. You're like, I'll do anything just to not have to. Even though scooting around on your skateboard might have been fun, but really not a way to live. So that probably helped as well. But good for you, because I know some adults that, you know, they just quit halfway in and they're like, I can't take all these pills anymore and all these tinctures. And you being so young and just pushed through it for 4 years, that's incredible. You are such a strong girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you, I just had a patient that was diagnosed with, you know, very sad. It's a type of leukemia, and he was only giving four months left to live. Yeah. So, and then here I'm sitting then talking to the wife, because he wasn't able to come in because of his state. And the wife said, no. And so I'm saying, well, we need to do this, this, and this. And the wife said, is that a liquid? He won't take a liquid. Yeah. I was thinking, he's 4 months left to live and he's not going to take a liquid. Right. So here you are. Yeah, he's an adult and you're a child and you're taking all these things, being brave, doing it, and you're much braver than a lot of adults are. So yes. Kudos to you.
Yes. I always tell her about that and she just kind of doesn't want to make a big deal out of it. So
yeah.
Oh no, you need to recognize that what you have gone through. I always say that the strongest people out there in this world are those who have beat Lyme disease. And I believe it because it is such a hard disease to beat. And at your age, I can't even imagine what it took from you. But I know from me, just to tell you, Sophie, real quick, I know I was like you. I went from doctor to doctor for 7 years and nobody believed me. And I didn't have those, I wasn't barking like a dog and doing witch things exactly like you were. However, I was in bed and I had to hire somebody to take care of me. I couldn't take care of me and I didn't even know what my own name was. So I was so sick and so scared that I thought I was going to die and I didn't know what to do. And I'm glad that I finally kept fighting, like your mom kept doing research and research. And I was the one, along with my pain doctor, who helped me to discover that it was Lyme disease. And then I got excited thinking, oh, yay, I have Lyme disease. Let's get rid of this. And then I found out it wasn't so easy. So, I mean, I struggled more than I ever thought possible, and I'm stronger for it now. So I can tell you right now that just what you have gone through in your life, battling Lyme, you are going to do amazing things in this world because you are so strong and so brave and so resilient. And so I could just go on and on and on and tell you how many amazing things about you that I'm just, you did a great job, Mom. You did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's scary to think where we would be had I just followed the doctor's orders. You know, they said it's psychological. They were going to put her in the psych ward, but I really, really didn't want to do that to her. So we finally were able to leave, but they did send her to the psychiatrist, and he did prescribe Zoloft right away. And we didn't give it to her because I just knew it, that was not the answer. And something was physically wrong, and I knew it. Yeah. And luckily my husband agreed. And of course I was up doing I couldn't focus. I couldn't function. I had a full-time job, and she ended up having to go on homebound schooling for a whole semester in fifth grade. And I had to take off work on family leave because it was just that bad. And luckily, you know, my husband just believed anything I said, because I know sometimes even in marriages, the husband could be like, that's not what it is. But I mean, it was very obvious once we started treatment that it was working, and it was just little, it wasn't like miraculous. It was just little by little, right. You know, some of the symptoms would go away, and then we would change up what we were doing. And we did a ton of detox as well. And just seeing how, like, by this, we went to see the functional medicine specialist in right after, during the time that she was on homebound schooling. And it was the fall semester. So by the spring semester of 2017, she was able to go back to school, because we had so it was just November to January, and just the treatments she was doing in that 2 months, she was good, well enough to go back to school.
Wow.
So, yeah. And for a little bit, I think it was before that, she had to go in a wheelchair sometimes, and they had to have people explain to the class, you know, that she was sick and things like that. But we're really lucky to have that. We had a really supportive school district. And
and what's important, I think, for parents to hear is exactly what you said. When they can't find a solution, you know, especially for children, then they say, you know, they start to look at parents being that, well, you're manipulating them, and they are depressed and anxious. You know, they need all these psychiatric type of treatments and pharmaceuticals, and to then say no to that and stand your ground and recognize that, no, we're not going to, they do that because it's an easy solution, because they can't find anything else. So then that's a rabbit hole they go down to immediately, just to kind of get rid of you guys, and you to say, no, this is not it, and then fight on until you find that solution. You know, that it's so important.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't, you know, I had never thought of that before. And I had always had I didn't even realize I could go outside my insurance network. I was like, oh, I can go somewhere else. But of course I had to pay out of pocket, but you know, I mean, it was worth it. We went into a lot of credit card debt, but I mean, it's like saving the life of my child. Like she wouldn't have a life if I didn't do that. So
you can't put a price tag on that. And that's what's sad too, is it seems like the only doctors that we can get to, first of all, believe us, and treat us are those that don't take insurance. And, and unfortunately, it's not the doctor's fault. It's the way that the world is right now. And, you know, some of these doctors are still out there losing their licenses because they're treating Lyme disease and acknowledging it. So, yeah, it really is a bummer that we have to spend so much money out of pocket, but at least we have that option. So
yeah,
true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether we're in debt or not, you know, if we don't have a child or our life, it doesn't really matter. So
yeah, we have a choice. Yeah. Sophie, symptom wise, where are you at now? I mean, what are you, do you have any pain? Do you have the energy you want? What kind of symptom wise?
I feel like I'm very good now.
She is doing great. I mean, I'm really proud of her. The only like remainders of that time of her, like, you know, extreme illness are the like dermatographia, rashes, hives, like the allergen type stuff. And
rarely some like stuff.
She does have a few weird, like her ANAs are still a little elevated, and she does, like, you know, we kind of thought that maybe she had a little bit of like Raynaud's, but it's not all the time. So it's just kind of hard to say. Like she has burning pains in her fingers, and she has, like her feet have turned red before. So I thought, you know, I've looked at erythromelalgia. I just don't really know if there's something maybe vascular that was damaged or something. I'm just not sure. So she, and it's random, like it's not all, it's not consistent, but she's had her foot, you know, the sole of her foot blow up to twice the size of her other one, and then her feet peeled, and she just has some little, sorry, she's had little, just here and there, she's had little weird things like that, but it's, I mean, it's nothing compared to before, but it still makes me think like her immune system's still a little wacky. So
something's still going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're still,
like, you're talking about like the mast cell activation and, you know, maybe dealing with some vasculitis, you know, from still maybe some infectious agent or some immune system that's still hyperactive, just because, yeah, it could be that the infection is gone, but the immune system is still hyper, and you got to deal with that. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's a journey. It's a peeling the onion. I mean, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And luckily we found an integrative rheumatologist, because we stopped seeing her after 4 years. She was doing so great, and we left her fabulous nurse practitioner, but I did find an integrative rheumatologist down in San Diego. So just like once a year we go there just to kind of monitor, and then she's got her allergist and her like a dermatologist and her pediatrician following her. Hopefully the mast cell person we'll get to see in October, either to rule it out or rule it in.
Yeah.
And
so if Jessica, for all the mothers out there dealing with children that possibly have Lyme or are diagnosed with Lyme, what is one of the things that you would have wanted someone to have told you at that time? What would you like to tell them?
Listen to your child, because I feel so bad for second guessing her, and then the doctor's telling me, you know, what they told us was ignore her symptoms. They're not real. Like, it's, you know, it's somatoform. She's not faking it, but she really believes she has pain. So you need to ignore those symptoms, you know, see the psychologist, see the psychiatrist. And so, like, I just was so, I just second guessed myself so much. But, you know, a 9-year-old child can't fake those symptoms. And she had such physical, very obvious symptoms as well, with the hives and the rashes and the pain. And she was normally such a, you know, she was athletic, sporty. She was a good student. She was like a good citizen and wanted to do well. And all of a sudden she couldn't go to school anymore, and was crying and screaming, and just, you know, her mood was different. And it's like, even if the doctors are telling you, like, oh, I don't believe in pandas, I don't believe in Lyme disease, trust your gut and go and trust your child. Like, I could not have, I had, you know, someone, there was a counselor at school that told me, just, you know, you just need to leave and I'll help her. And I'll, actually, ultimately she said, you have to decide, she's either going to go to school or she's going to go on homebound schooling. And then I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to do homebound schooling, because I don't want her, you know, around anybody who doesn't believe what's going on, mm-hmm. or who's not going to treat her in a way that doesn't, like, I don't want her to feel like I betrayed her, and that, cause that could have damaged our whole entire relationship for the rest of our life. And, sorry, that's long-winded, but no, just trust your child, believe your child, and, you know, don't go to the ends of the earth to figure out what's wrong. I know that people feel like, I know one doctor said, oh, are you going to go doctor shopping? And I was like, no, I just, you know, we'll see what, how she does. And then if no one can help her, I am going to go somewhere else, but I'm not going to, you know, run around every week trying to find a new doctor. But at the same time, they make you feel crazy for looking for new doctors if you don't, you know, agree with what they're telling you. But who cares? Just,
yeah.
You know, there are people out there who will help you. So go to them.
Fine. Yeah. Yes. Search them until you find them. So that's really good tips, because even as adults, we have to be our own advocate. And, you know, especially as a mother, you have to believe your child, whether it sounds crazy or not. And I'm glad that you did. So you've got a great mama there, Sophie. Now, don't feel that you have to answer this, but if somebody that is your age and they happen to be listening to this, is there something that you would want to say to them? Maybe, you know, even just maybe, you know, if your parent's telling you you're sick and to take these and they taste nasty, still do it, because eventually, you know, your joints will feel better, or, you know, just acknowledge how proud, how strong they are, because we're all telling you how strong you are. So if they're out there fighting this, then they're being strong too.
Mm-hmm. Like, if your parents are going all the way out of this thing to do everything for you, then you should definitely listen to what they are saying will do to make you feel better. And like, we even heard that one person didn't want to take that medication, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
yeah. So, refusing, I know it's, like you said, it can be nasty, but you will start feeling better. And, it's important to do all those different, things that the doctor prescribes as long as it's, functional medicine.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad you trust your mom enough to know that drinking this nasty stuff is going to make me better. And look, it did.
And there you are. Well, yeah, thank you so much, both of you. This was amazing. It's such a powerful story, and I really appreciate, the fight, and that's what I always love, the mother's heart, how they are willing to stand up for their child and find the solution when nobody else bothers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and mm-hmm. thanks for recognizing that. And we're glad to speak and share that with everybody. So hopefully more people can be inspired to fight it and keep pushing.
And mm-hmm. that's exactly why we do this. We want to be inspiring to those that feel like you used to, Sophie. Felt like they were going to die. And when they want to give up and not take those medications, they're going to listen to the story that you guys just shared. And it's going to inspire them to keep fighting, because if you at your age can get better, then they can too. So you did a great thing today. So thank you again, both, so much for sharing with us and just being honest and telling everybody how your journey was.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.